Oh. And I thought I'd sort of introduce myself a little bit because most of you I see only on the screen and have never said much to other than hi. So when I first joined TBZ, which is the first and only shul I have ever joined, except for my childhood synagogue, it was out of a sense of yearning. I grew up in what was probably a fairly typical conservative community. I strongly identified with being a Jew. I went to services whenever my parents told me to. And I'm pretty sure I did not know that people went to shul if they didn't have to. And we didn't call it shul. Like the kids I hung out with, I found more meaning in sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And eventually, I added brown rice and meditation and therapy into the mix. So when I discovered or rediscovered Judaism as an adult, there were some pretty big mountains to climb, in spite of 6 years of Hebrew school and a Friday night bat mitzvah. I attended Torah study regularly when I joined TBZ, but for the first few years, I could not find a way around the misogyny and the killing and the wars. But my rabbi was very entertaining, and I started to make friends, so I just kept going and kept going. And I struggled with the Torah. It took years to understand that Torah was a teaching and could actually be relevant to me, that it wasn't just a story about other people, it living in some other time. And maybe most of it never even happened, but it still had so much to teach us. And eventually, I was able to see through the stories to the wisdom. In preparing for this morning, I didn't do what most people do. I really only consulted two sources. One was Shefa Gold, because I could always relate to her and her chapter on Matot in her book on the on spirituality. She always writes about Torah as something that is happening in the present. And she talks of Matot as not only happening in the present, but it's being a map of my inner landscape. She says that to get at the wisdom, the jewel of Matot, we cannot ignore the shocking cruelty of the story. If you have read it, there is a lot of cruelty, the shocking cruelty of Moshe. And as a help to us to understand it, she directs us to look at our own cruelty, at our own inner struggles, colored by ignorance and delusion. And while the story I find very difficult to wrap my mind around, I can understand ignorance and I can understand delusion. The other source that I consulted is ChatGPT, which was actually pretty helpful. It said that Matot reminds us that genuine freedom comes with responsibility. We are currently being led by leaders who do not care, who use words that barely carry any meaning at all. And as shocking as it has been to watch our democratic form of government crumble, it just blows my mind to hear some of the words that are publicly used by our elected officials to describe anyone who is not us. Words like stupid, ignorant, garbage. Matot asks us to think about how power should be used. And what are the moral costs of violence? How do we prevent vengeance from becoming justice? These questions are so painfully relevant today, to right now, to my own inner landscape. How can you not love Torah? At the beginning of Matot, the Torah discusses vows and promises. The opening verse teaches us that when a person makes a vow, they should not profane their word. They should do what they have said. The Torah is reminding us that speech is not merely sound. In Judaism, words create reality. God creates the world through speech. Let there be light. Human beings also create through speech. We don't create galaxies, but we create relationships, trust, hope, community. A kind word can restore a broken spirit. And a careless word can leave a wound that lasts for years. We used to say, sticks and stones will break my bones and names will never harm me. It's not true. Words harm, and they can harm for a lifetime. And Matot offers another insight that not every promise should be made or should be kept. The Torah provides ways for certain vows to be annulled. This acknowledges a profound truth that there is a difference between integrity and stubbornness. Sometimes wisdom means recognizing that a commitment made in haste no longer serves one's life, no longer serves one's holiness. And most of us carry invisible vows. I have to do everything myself. I'm too old to change. I'll never forgive that person. I'm just not enough. While these are stories that we tell ourselves, they really imprison us. Matot invites us to examine the promises we live by and ask, do these words lead me toward compassion and purpose, or away from compassion and away from purpose? As we move through our week, perhaps the spiritual practice of Matot can guide us to speak a little more thoughtfully, to promise a little more carefully, to forgive yourself when you need to begin again, and let your yes mean yes because it comes from your deepest values. The Hebrew word devar means both word and thing, and Judaism recognizes that words become things. They become habits and character, and ultimately become the life that we build. So may we choose words that create blessings and commitments that deepen our integrity, and may we choose silence when silence is wiser than speech. So I'm hoping this can lead us to some discussion of the Parsha, if you have read it, of your Judaism, if you care to share how you learned to embrace it, or just how your practice is going. Thank you.